All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order. The betting calendar is absolutely loaded right now. Baseball in full swing. NBA, NHL playoffs already underway. If you want to get really spicy, you can even bet the WNBA. Look, I'm not judging. Action's action. The question is, where are you betting? Because that matters just as much as what you're betting. That's why I go to mybookie.ag. And why you should too. New to MyBookie? Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. If your first bet loses, you get a full refund up to $500 back in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for showing up. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.
This is the ZABE cast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Tuesday, May 26, 2026. Thank you for downloading. Hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day itself. I've already made the mistake in a group chat of thanking the veterans, the military boys on the string. And they're like, yeah, you know, today is a day for those who made the ultimate sacrifice. And I'm like, God, I always get caught up on that. And I always get caught up on saying happy Memorial Day, which is also a bit of a faux pas. There's just no easy saying that rolls off the tongue. For, of course, our incredible men and women who have paid the ultimate measure for our freedom. And I'm not a big tourism guy. I'm not a big travel. Let's go see this museum. Let's go see this town and wander around. I mean, I love to golf, obviously, so I like to take golf trips. I want to be doing something. I think the one spot for sure that I would want to see from a tourist standpoint is the cliffs at Normandy, where some 9,000 plus gleaming white granite crosses stand, where they have names of those men, those young boys, really, plucked off of farms across America on D-Day, gave the ultimate sacrifice for this country. I'm a huge Saving Private Ryan fan. I was excited to see this new D-Day movie that is coming out in theaters this week called Pressure, that talks about the it's focused around, from what I could tell from the trailers, the weather decision about should we or shouldn't we launch this invasion. And it looks like there's some pretty awesome footage of that horrific scene on Normandy Beach and others on Omaha Beach. I'm here for it. I love that stuff. It's sobering. It's inspiring in a way, but also something that makes me think. And so I saw the video of the tradition yet again this year of volunteers who go to Normandy, who go up on top of those cliffs where they are those 9,000 plus gleaming white crosses, and they rub sand from the beach into the carvings, the engravings of the names, and then gently with a wet sponge wash off the excess so that it lights up the name. It accents the name. It kind of makes it look almost gold, with that sand being in there for as long as it stays. Incredible stuff. and I would like to see it. I think standing there would fill me with an incredible sense of awe and wonder. And I'm sure many people are going to email me now saying, yes, you have to go. I've been. It's something that'll blow you away. Also, man, I'm getting old. Jesus. 58. Now, I've lost some weight. Lost 20 pounds. Many people have said, hey, I can see it in your face. Thank you for noticing and doing good. I don't think I've talked about this on the pod. I'll talk about it now. So what did it for me was being denied a life insurance policy based on some bad numbers. Now, I think it's kind of bullshit. I could have shopped around. You know, there's always these life insurance commercials you hear where it's like, Big Lou's got life insurance. You can too. Big Lou's a piece of shit. He's 500 pounds. But for the right price, I don't want to spend through the nose for life insurance. But so I got denied because of a couple of numbers. And I knew, I'm like, I got to get my shit together. Because I was 235 to 240, maybe 245 pounds. I've been fluctuating in a very disgusting and unhealthy range from at least 230 to as much as 250. And I know this because I take pictures of the scale in the basement that I weigh myself on periodically. And yes, it's a doctor's scale with that arm and the little weights that you slide back and forth. I bought that, I can't remember how many years ago. It's crazy to me how accurate they are and how sensitive they are. I have no idea why it is that a doctor's scale is so accurate compared to just simpler digital ones you throw on the bathroom floor, but it is. So it's funny, the ritual when I get on the scale, which is pretty much every morning now, which some say you shouldn't do, others say, no, that's fine. But I get on in the morning and I kind of think to myself, am I feeling a little bit lighter today? Do I look a little bit skinnier? And of course, I get full naked on the scale. It's a dumb thing, right? It's early in the morning. Nobody's down there. It doesn't matter. But I'm like, I'm not going to have a stitch of clothing on. Not even my Apple Watch. Let's see how light I can claim I am just for one day. And the slider on the pounds on that doctor's scale is where it was yesterday. And before I step on the scale, I hold my finger down on the little balancing arm. And I hold it now and I wait. I'm waiting more and more because I'm fearful that when I know I've eaten too much and I let go of my finger, that balancing arm goes zoop, bang, and hits itself against the upper part of the little square that it sits in. But there are days when I'm feeling light and I know I'm feeling light and I lift my finger off that arm and it stays flat on the ground and I'm like, yes. So then I play this game of, all right, could I claim that I'm 216 and a half right now? And I lift my finger off the arm and it floats up and it hits the top and I go, no, doesn't count. The weight that I claim to be is when the arm, the balancing arm, does not actually hit the top. So I take a picture of this just to sort of keep track of it. And I was looking through some old pictures of what the scale said, and I'm like, holy shit. Of course, I'm now looking at pictures of me from just a year ago when I was 235, 238, and I'm disgusted. I'm actually kind of mad at everybody around me going, why weren't you guys yelling at me at full force going, you fat fuck. Put the pop tarts down. But it was the life insurance that got denied, me knowing I had to get my shit together, my doctor recommending I go on Ozempic. I did not want to do that. And for a variety of reasons, and many people have had great success with GLP-1s, and there's a new GLP-1 out now, which they say is even better, and it has the benefit of reducing cancer. But I digress. So I was like, I don't need fucking Ozempic. I just need a little ounce of willpower. But I did take up my doctor's recommendation to get a constant glucose monitor. And it's been a game changer. And I didn't think it would be because at first I hated it. I'm thinking, oh God, I'm going to have this thing stuck to my arm and it's going to be constantly tattling on me and constantly looking and watching me whatever I eat. But I've come to love it because it's like a game. And so I quickly gamified it, and I learned what carbohydrates and what sugars really spike my blood sugar and just the patterns of it and how it goes down again. And if you walk briskly afterwards, I got obsessed with percentage of time in range. I got obsessed with, average glucose. And so in just 3 months, I was able to lower my A1C from, I think, the mid eights to under six, just with the glucose monitor, because I gamified it and I avoided at all costs, for the most part, all carbs whenever possible. Chipotle, which I've been to way too many times and it costs too much money, if I get the chicken with cheese and black beans in a bowl, that's good. That keeps my glycemic index low, and it's pretty filling. It's pretty good. And I'm not usually a beans guy. Beans also has fiber, which is good as well. But anyway, long story short, it's too late to do that. It's already a long story. Getting old, and I need to start working out to supplement this turnaround in diet. And it's been a while. And I was so worn out today after just doing the simplest project in the yard. Like, I couldn't believe how tired I was. All I did was I dug a small little trench for an irrigation line for a little, got it at Home Depot, pop-up sprinkler, but I wanted to bury the line that went no more than 20 feet from the hose bib out to where in the yard it was going to sit. And the ground was very, very wet because of all the rain, so the spade sliced in easily. I was able to pull out big chunks of turf and just lay them to the side. And I put the pipe down in there and I put the turf back in, but I'm bending over and I'm on my hands and knees. I was worn the fuck out. I took a 45-minute nap before I talked to Andy, who you're going to hear next, prior at 7 o'clock at night, thinking this is nuts. And I felt like I had a good night of sleep as well. Now, before you flood me with other pieces of health advice, and I know you will because you care about me and thank you for that. And I'm sure you're probably going to say, do a heart test. I've had heart tests, thankfully. It's looking good for the most part. Got to keep on it in terms of that, cholesterol and all that other stuff. But just the getting old, just the physical exhaustion from doing things that would normally, and I've, since moving out here on these 10 stupid acres, I've done so many projects that have required the bending and the hauling and the pushing and the pulling and the digging and the thising and the thatting that it never used to wear me out like this. This is truly old man getting worn out syndrome. And I hate it. So looks like I'm going to hire more and more help when it comes to the landscaping and the gardening. But mowing the lawn, I can do that. I can sit on the mower for 2.5 hours, listen to podcasts like this one, and mostly, except when it's 95 degrees, enjoy the solitude of the task. With that said, let's talk to my guy, Uncle Andy. All right, we're getting down to it now, Andy. It's always sad when softball highlights start making ESPN. Nothing against softball per se, but my God, it's every time this time of year that gets me to thinking, yep, we're about to enter the summer doldrums. Feeling like the summer doldrums already in sports?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, the playoffs in the NBA have been interesting. I have had really no interest in the hockey without the Caps involved. So, yeah, it might as well have to solve. In his heyday, Skip Bayless used to talk about how he was so into watching the softball. I guess it was just...
Shut up.
Just to enhance his geekdom, I guess, just to show everybody how invested he was in what he did.
Softball. He really sold that, huh?
Oh, he tried to anyway. Didn't sell me.
I was going to say, is he one of the biggest frauds in the history of our business?
I've told you this before. I mean, I go back with him to Dallas to the early 80s. And he took up jogging at one point, and that's what they call it, jogging. I guess it's running now. And he started bragging about what good shape he had gotten into. And because he was in such good shape, the athletes were more likely to talk to him.
Oh, yes. More likely to talk to him. Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. How was your weekend? It was a terrible weather weekend. You do like to go outside a bit, bicycling, little cookout here or there. But this was kind of tough to take. The sun finally came out on Monday at about 2 in the afternoon. Hadn't seen it since Wednesday. I bitched about it extensively on yesterday's pod, so you don't have to hear it from me today. I got that out of the way before
You on the weather.
I did.
Yeah, I can't believe it, because you never complain about the weather. Spring, summer, fall.
Did you not grumble just a bit at how shitty it was?
Well, we'd had a lot of dry weather. We had to get some rain in, you know. It was kind of dull. I watched a lot of – I've been watching the Nats. The Nats, they're fun. They score a lot of runs. They're good.
They are the best offense in baseball. Yeah. Period. Full stop. No qualifications. No asterisks. They're the best offense. The pitching, though, is goddamn terrible. So they've got the worst pitching staff as well.
They held the Braves to one run over two games. And you know, they're clobbering Cleveland tonight, 10-2, I think, last I checked. So, it's a little better.
Here's the weird thing, is that they may be on the wrong timeline for the rebuild. They might be ahead of where they're supposed to be, and that may lead their very young front office to trading away some guys that are just getting hot right now, because it makes sense to do so. C.J. Abrams being one of the prime guys that are probably going to be flipped before the trade deadline.
Yeah, I don't quite understand, you know, what they're doing. I know they haven't spent money. Ever since the old man died, they haven't spent. It's almost like they got burned on the Strasburg deal. Ooh, we can't spend money again.
And you and I screamed when that thing was about to happen. We're like, don't pay him. You don't have to. Yeah, I don't know. One is the World Series.
I don't know if I felt that way. I felt like they had, the makings of a team that could contend for the next few years, and then the pandemic hit. But, you know, you have a window in where they had Strasburg, they had Scherzer, they had Trey Turner at shortstop. They had a lot of good young players.
Turner and Rendon, you know, Sosa.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Rendon was one I said don't re-sign, because Rendon never liked baseball. That turned out the way it should have.
Incredible. Yes. Yeah. That was incredible that he was really, really good at baseball for when he was healthy here in Washington. And then he didn't give a fuck about it once he got paid.
He clearly didn't like dealing with the media. He didn't like anything about it. I don't even know if he liked playing, except he was really good at it for a while.
God, it's just crazy. So I sent Andy a little historical note that is in reference to this shocking and tragic death of Kyle Busch. Mm-hmm. And of course, with Andy and I, it always comes back to what people? Pistol Pete Maravich. It always, Andy, comes back to Pistol Pete with you and I, right?
Right.
So I kind of did. I either forgot, or maybe I didn't quite know that Pistol Pete died suddenly at like 40 years old. Tell me the story.
He had, you know, it's bizarre what he had. He had a heart issue that he carried his whole life. He could have died really at any point. And it just so happened that he passed away at the age of 40 after having a great basketball career. I don't care what you want to say. He was a great player.
And for the record, Andy, he was a phenomenon, a sensation, and a incredible basketball player. I've never disputed that. But he died at 40 playing pickup, right?
Yeah, he could have died at 20. He
died playing pickup basketball in the offseason.
Right, but it was not related to any, you know, particular heart stress. It wasn't like he'd gotten himself out of shape. From the way I understand it is his heart had not developed properly. And like the right side of the heart was taking over for the deficiency on the left side. And he was a ticking time bomb. The fact that he lasted until 40 playing a high stress, you know, sport like that is really remarkable.
Yeah. Died at the age of 40, January 5th, 1988, collapsed during a pickup game in Pasadena, California, Autopsy revealed that he was born with a rare congenital defect, missing his left coronary artery.
Yeah.
Missing a whole artery.
Right.
Where did
right.
that go, huh?
No, this is not as uncommon as you might think. I mean, yeah. I have a friend who lost a daughter from this, and the issue is how much do you go through invasive testing when nothing really shows up on the EKG?
Can't we screen for this now? Can't we just
no? You can, but the doctor would have to suspect it. Like, you've had an EKG, I've had an EKG, you know, they attach those electrodes to your chest. They always pull off a bunch of chest hair with me. But that those determine whether there's an issue. And I guess in the testing of Pete Maravich and in the case of my friend's daughter, they didn't find anything that alarmed them. And unfortunately, there was, you know, else had that was Bronny James. And they were fortunate in that they had the defibrillator there to revive him on the court at USC, and he had the surgery to correct the defect.
And I can't believe that he's still playing basketball. Not very well. He's kind of on a make-a-wish thing with his dad in the Lakers. But by the way, did you see his golf swing, Bronny?
No. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, not too bad.
Really good. Those of us who are golfers, when we saw that swing and heard the sound of the ball off the driver, a lot of us were like, bro, just actually focus on golf. Like, you can have a future in golf. Your future in the NBA is going to end the minute your dad retires. You know that.
Yeah. I know golf, you go back and forth as to how athletic it is, but haven't there been some really good athletes? Like, didn't Hale Irwin play college football in Colorado?
He did. And, good memory.
And Jack was a good athlete in high school.
Yeah, you're right. I played all the sports, but I was.
I played basketball.
I like beating up on the kids at Scioto Country Club because I was better than them. I could hit 8-iron over the trees.
So
on the LeBron James front, you know, we're heading into a summer of what will the Lakers do? And there is now buzz, Andy. You used to always like to say this when we did a show. You know, Zabe, there's buzz. And I'm like, buzz? What is buzz? Like, you can't define buzz. And you would just kind of cock your head and say with a wry smile, hey, man, I'm just saying it's out there. Buzz is out there. There is buzz out there that LeBron could come to Washington.
Oh,
how would you feel about LeBron finally being a Wizard? We could collect them all. Like, Jordan was a Wizard. LeBron is a Wizard. Someday SGA will be a We'll get all these guys once their usable NBA careers are kind of done.
This would be a Ted thing. The problem is, and we've seen the movie with Jordan, when you bring in LeBron, you're not just bringing in a basketball player. You're bringing in the coach, the general manager,
right?
The guy who sucks up all the air in the room. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, after being the most irrelevant,
be in favor of it.
No, would I be in favor? Yeah, for a year. Why not?
Oh God, Andy.
Why not? Is it going to ruin the franchise? What are you giving up?
Nothing. He's a free agent.
Right. So
you would take him.
Because he's not going to stay here long. I don't think he's going to come anyway. But if he did,
would you be excited for it?
Well, look, they have been the most irrelevant franchise in professional sports for years.
Nope.
And they've been a disgrace for 3 years tanking. At least there would be some buzz about having him here.
Yeah. Hey, don't say they were a disgrace for tanking. They tanked with eloquence and honor. And they tanked in a way that somehow missed the wrath of Adam Silver. Now, speaking of Adam Silver, I would love to know what he really thinks and what Adam Silver really says privately in a luxury suite watching the NBA final, watching the Western Conference Finals and SGA flop all over the place. Mm-hmm. I would love to know what he's saying. Is he secretly seething? Like, this is a bad look. We can't have this. The guy just falls down when nobody touches him and our stupid fucking referees keep falling for it. Or do you think he doesn't really care? Or do you think they're in on it to give SGA this insanely generous whistle?
No, I think the NBA would like the Spurs to win. Victor Wembanyama in the finals against the New York Knicks would be enormous for the league. So I don't think there's that. But yeah, there's a lot of things that go on in the NBA that he looks at and he kind of throws his hands up in the air. I was really impressed with him early on, but over the course of time, he's not that strong.
He's turned into margarine that's been left out on the counter all day.
Yeah, exactly.
So does the flopping bother you when you see it?
No, not really, because LeBron does it all the time. The league it's been that way for a long time, and until they have clear-cut rules on what flopping is, he's going to get away with it.
Well, I mean, it's like pornography, as the great James Potter once said. I know it when I see it.
Yeah.
And didn't the then owner of the Cowboys, or no, Tom Landry, what was the story about that? Either the Cowboys former owner or Tom Landry thought that the cheerleaders were pornography.
Oh, no, it was Tom Landry didn't want them, and Tex Schramm said, we're going to have them. Yeah, he
and Landry was like, this is pornography, and wasn't the story that, you know, Schramm put in a tape of Debbie Dow's Dallas, and he's like, this is pornography. And then Landry's like, oh, okay, sorry, never mind.
I haven't heard that, but yeah, that would be surprising to me, given my being around Tom Landry. But, you know, Landry was the one who said, okay, if the league has to have women allowed into the locker room, we're not letting anybody in the locker room.
Right.
And so they had interview rooms for the players, and you had to wait in a room, and they would wait. They gave them robes, you know, to show up in. Yeah. And until Jerry Jones took over the team in 1989, that's the way they ran it for about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Speaking of commissioners, somebody tweeted that 40 years ago, David Stern rebranded the NBA Finals as the NBA Finals. It had been called the NBA World Championship Series.
Really?
Yes. Oh. May of 1979, the NBA Finals were known as the NBA World Championship Series. In fact, here's the graphic for it, right? Oh, you probably can't hear that, can you?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me share the screen so you can then see it. Stand by. Here we go. Okay. Got that there?
Yep.
That's here. You can't see, you can't hear the letters, but it's.
Did you say 1979?
Yeah. Is that,
okay. Stern was not the commissioner of that. You know that.
No,
right?
No, but this tweet said that David Stern rebranded it and they went back. They were just like, oh, by the way, here's the 79 NBA Finals opening graphic saying NBA World Championship Series. So
that was like BC. Like 79 was the year of demarcation. That was the year that the Sonics and the Bullets rematched in the finals. Bullets won first game, Sonics swept. Everybody thought the league was full of drug addicts and the attendance was bad. The TV ratings were awful. They taped delayed it. And then Magic and Bird came in the fall of 79 and everything changed.
Yeah. Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good. Maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino. That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at MyBookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. What'd you think of the Indianapolis 500?
It missed me in that I just wasn't paying attention. I look on my phone. Oh wow, had a record finish. So I didn't even know it was on.
Oh my god,
I did. I knew it was on, but I didn't have any real compunction to go watch it.
Why? And there's no Andretti in the race? There's no.
Yeah, there really weren't names that I recognized.
There's no Foyt in the race. There's no Kipper in the race.
And I looked this up. We debuted sports radio in Washington, Indianapolis 500 Day, 1992. And it was Al Unser Jr. beating Scott Goodyear by 0.042 seconds, 4/100ths of a second. This was 2/100ths of a second. I mean,
yeah,
it's got to be a blink, right? What's the difference between the two finishes?
Well, somebody, one of the professional photogs covering the race, took a photo right as the winner crosses the bricks, and it's super clear, which is hard to believe at 200 miles an hour. But also, it's you could barely park the one, the two, and the three, because there was three cars that close, and you could barely get them that close if you were to park them in your garage with a tennis ball hanging from the ceiling to guide you in the windshield. So I don't know what the race has to do to get back to its cultural relevance, where it scoops up guys like you who aren't even thinking about the race. Probably that day is never going to come. You do remember the Kentucky Derby, though. So why do you remember the Derby more so than the...
Because it's 2 minutes. There's no delays, and there's sometimes a horse will break a leg, but there's no wheels flying all over the place. It's the buildup is all day, but you kind of know when the race is. So you watch the race, it's 2 minutes.
That's a good point. It's appointment. You know it's going to be 2 minutes, so it's not much. But you can tune in to the last portion of it at least and try to catch yourself up.
You don't know when it's going to be. You don't know when the rain delays are going to be. You don't know how many stoppages they're going to have because of wrecks. So it could go a lot longer.
Somebody, I had another wonderful listener from Indianapolis email me and say, "You've got to come. I will be your host. I will get you that. You've got to see this spectacle." And I'm like, I really appreciate the invites, but I got to be honest, motorsports in person is not my thing. I don't want to take anyone up on a generous offer when at the end of that offer, I'm most likely going to be, meh, it was fine. Because then you'll be insulted, right? This is something that many people love with such a great passion. They grew up listening to the race. They've got deep roots to it. Did you see Letterman talked about how he was, young, he would listen to the race on the radio sitting in a tree growing up in Indiana?
Well, I'll tell you, there was a period of time when it was tape delayed and they would actually scope it down. So they make it like a 2-hour broadcast.
Really?
But the radio was great. Have you ever heard how they do it on the radio? It's fantastic. They have a guy on various, spots on the track and they just hand it off. It's great. It's really well done on the radio. I haven't heard it in years, but on the radio, it was really good.
Well, the guy who did the TV call was amazing. He's a Brit, I believe. Doesn't sound like he's American born, but he was fantastic. It was a thrilling finish. And from 71 to 85. How about that? Same day tape delayed basis. The race was edited down to a 2 or 3 hour broadcast and shown in prime time on ABC. Wow.
Well, it was a good spot. Sunday night, Memorial Day weekend, maybe they put it up against 60 minutes. Who knows?
Yeah. The final tape delayed winner was Danny Sullivan. Didn't he do like a 360 on one of the laps, Danny Sullivan at Indy? Either way, back to my point. So I love it that people are passionate about the things in sports that they love. I appreciate that they want to share that with me. However, I don't want to insult you if I were to take you up on the offer, go to the race, and then have the exact reaction I know I'm going to have. Now, maybe there's a chance that I'm blown away and I'm like, this is it. I'm going to become a huge open wheel fan. I'm coming back every year. I kind of know myself at 58 years of age as to what I like and what I don't like. I don't think I'd think much of going to the race. I like watching it on TV with all the camera angles and the announcers and the technology to explain what the fuck is going on. I sat in the stands at the Brickyard for the NASCAR race back in 94 when they first started to run NASCAR races at the Brickyard. And let me tell you, Andy, it's impossible. Almost impossible to know what the fuck is going on. Oh, there's a big totem pole with numbers on it.
and you could see which car is in what place based on where they are in the totem pole. And I had headsets that had the pit crew radios. So I was listening to various teams and their pit crews, still didn't know, because once every 2 minutes, or not two, once every minute, and then you'd watch them do it again for 3 hours.
If I were to tell you that if somebody invited me to the Masters, I wouldn't be over the moon, would that make you crazy? It might.
Andy, it would not make me crazy. Yeah. And that's a perfect analogy that I could say to you, oh, my God, Andy, you got to see it. You would probably go down. You would say, oh, this place is really nice.
Yeah.
Like, this is very green. All right.
Yeah.
And then you'd look around. And you'd be like, all right, we saw three shots. Now what? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to see maybe 12 more. We're going to do a lot of talking.
I want to go on the clubhouse and watch it on TV. I like it better. So it's like the Super Bowl. I hate to say this, but I've been to a bunch of Super Bowls. Now, if the Washington was in it, yes, I would absolutely want to be there. But two teams that I don't care about, I've done them. I like it, but I'd rather watch the Super Bowl at home.
Yeah. Well, this is part of A, getting old, but also B, having been lucky enough to have gone a number of things. Now, also, we're now approaching the point in sports where, you know, these games and these events are going to price out all but the very wealthy, because ticket prices are insane at many big events now. Now, I know the courtside seats at the Garden are not a good barometer for anything, but people are already, you know, putting their hooks into courtside seats for the finals, and they're paying up to $500,000 for two seats for one game.
Well, as I understand, they were listed. Darren Revelle confirmed that two courtside seats were sold for $279,000. And the only thing I can think is there's some big corporation that's trying to close a multi-million dollar deal. And the investment in that to take the person who's in charge of deciding whether the deal goes through or not might be worth that. Other than that, I no matter how big a Knick fan you are, it's game one. It's not even the potential to decide the series.
Well,
who could pay that kind of money?
What wouldn't it be game three? Doesn't the West have home court advantage?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's right. But still, it's not a buzz-out game.
That's even more, because the Knicks might be coming home having been drilled by 20 in games one and two. Then what?
Right. Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So what is there left for you that you'd love to go see in sports, having seen so much?
What have I never, you know, I've never been to a World Series game, believe it or not.
I have.
You know,
and it sucked. You know,
really?
It was at Nats Park. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cold, and the Nats lost, because every home team lost in that World Series all seven games. It was terrible. Now, thank you to Glenn Yunis. You remember Glennie. Got me the ticket to the game. But also, we were in seats that were kind of under the underhang. They were pretty good seats, but they had just put up the extra netting. Mm. And I fucking hate the extra netting.
I know.
Yeah. It would have been nice, though, if they had won. But, I've been to a World Series game. So you want to go to a World Series game, you can pass on the Masters.
You know, my sporting future is going to be children's soccer games. My granddaughter turns four, and my grandson is turning 1.5, and my other grandson is a couple months old. So that's my future. That's where I'm going to be in the folding chair. I'm going to say, that's nice, sweetheart. Great job. Fantastic. The only thing I don't like is the participation trophies. But other than that, it's great.
I see bag chairs and Metamucil in your future.
Yeah, well, fortunately, I stay pretty regular. But yes, the bag chair is...
will you yell at the referees?
No. I watched enough youth sports with my two kids, and it was drilled into us, do not yell at the referees.
Did you sometimes break that, though?
Yeah, of course. But
of course I did. They told
me. I didn't get thrown out, though. I did not.
I couldn't resist. Yeah. Johnny Manziel is down to this. He was in an exhibition MMA fight against internet influencer Bob Menery. Do you know who Bob Menery is?
I do not.
He's pretty funny. Bob Mannery does voiceovers for various sort of street fight videos. Mm-hmm. I'll play one for you in a second, but here's Johnny Manziel. They were calling this the Battle of the Dad Bods. It's one of these things where you go, okay, sure, you wanted to beat this guy's ass, and they paid you some amount of money. But at what point does your pride say, nah?
Oh, put your hands up.
Oh, my God. Johnny's kicking. Oh, holy shit. Oh, shit.
Oh! What are we watching?
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
But
I mean, he's not really. Oh!
Oh wow!
Wonder if Bob.
Oh wait a minute! Wait a minute! No way!
Oh!
Okay, so that you get the sense of it right there. From a guy that was doing the money signs on draft night at the NFL draft to this.
That's who he is. He's a flame out. And do you remember, this is probably 20 years ago, they had celebrity boxing. Remember the match between the late Manute Bol and Refrigerator Perry, where Manute Bol looked like a praying mantis? And Perry was too fat to move, and they had Nadia Comaneci.
Oh, they had some wild pairings. They had Screech from Saved by
the Bell. Yeah, right. Not Nadia Comaneci. It was Olga Corbett, I think, was in that. I mean, it was just disgraceful.
Jesus. Yes, but I guess if you dangle enough cash in front of somebody, you'll find their pride point in which they go, no, you know what? I'll actually do that. So here's Bob Mannery. You should follow him.
Been pretty good so far as of late. And they're challenged again up the middle. Nice play. Fired from the show. Oh, my God. What are we playing? Call of Duty out here? He gets fucking sniped in the head. And there's blood already. That's a bad sign. And we take a look at the replay. He'll be all right. He's fine. He's not flatlined on the dirt. So he'll be all right. Let's look at the replay. Pretty casual ball up the middle. They haven't liked his calls lately. So guess what? Fuck you. Down he goes. Oof.
What makes it work is that Bob has perfected what we call the broadcaster puke voice.
Yeah.
Where you draw it out of your guttural region, like, hey, everybody, hey, here's a ground ball up the middle. Holy shit, he got hit right in the head.
Just a little outside.
Right. But he takes it to the extreme. I need to now find out what happened with Manziel and Mannery to have him, you know, saying, I would go ahead and fight you. But yeah. So Manziel says he will not fight again. Like I said, we're down to it, Andy, in terms of things to talk about. I'm not even going to get into the whole Jackson Dart Trump issue, because that blew up over the weekend to a certain extent. Did you see that with his teammate Abdul?
I did. And I'm probably going to side with you on this. Jackson Dart had every right to do what he did.
He was just with Trump. That's it. He was Trump at a political rally, and Abdul Carter's like, man, I thought this was AI at first. What is this shit?
And look, social media is around. It's everywhere, but it's relatively new, right? I mean, there have been athletes who have taken up political causes which have been controversial, sometimes even Democrats. Sam Huff was a big Kennedy supporter. I'm sure there were people who were anti-Kennedy in the locker room, but there wasn't social media to go back and forth on them. So that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Also, the Giants have extended GM Joe Shane, the guy that was embarrassed or should have been embarrassed being caught on Hard Knocks offseason talking shit about why it made so much sense to get rid of Saquon Barkley. And his own kid was like, you need to move up and draft Jaden Daniels. Life is short. And he's like, no, we're not going to do that. He got an extension. Yeah. Now, I had one Giant fan chirp me because I tweeted, hey, that's good for the rest of the NFC East. And they're like, hey, keep up, pal. This is John Harbaugh's show. Everyone knows that. I'm like,
well, that's the point. I think that's why he got the extension, because they knew if they got rid of him, they would have a hard time finding somebody to come in and be basically Harbaugh's lackey. So this is, I guess he agreed to that. I mean,
whatever you want. I mean,
it never works. Almost never works. Belichick, it worked when they had Brady. But you remember Mike Holmgren when he did both with Seattle? And then the Seahawks said, no, you can't do both. And he just coached and he got him to the Super Bowl. They didn't win, but he got him to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
So I think this may be related to that they weren't going to get somebody to run the show. So here's somebody they think is pretty good at what he does, although he hasn't proven it, and that he will be subservient to Harbaugh.
Yeah. Are you aware of the enhanced games in Vegas going on right now?
Yeah, I heard about that. That's just stupid. I have no interest in watching that.
The funniest thing is most of the events are not even coming close to breaking world records. In fact, a number of the athletes are getting slower and posting worse results. So it raises the question, is it overblown, the whole testing for performance-enhancing drugs? Or is it in the right hands at the right dosages, the best of the best athletes will get an edge?
Well, look, it had to have worked in baseball. Has anybody come close to 73 home runs since Bonds? What's the closest? Somebody's 62, I guess, would be Judge, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it clearly works in some sports. It may not work at all, but it did work in baseball.
Why do we think it worked in baseball? What's your operative theory? And what has anyone ever said, here's why guys went nuts hitting home runs in baseball with P90s?
It must be the little bit of extra power, but it's not like, well, of course, Brady Anderson never hit more than like 20, and one year he hit 50.
I think it's not the extra power. I think it's because really there wasn't a lot of home runs that barely made it out. I think it's just staying healthy. It's staying healthy and feeling better, stronger, better bat speed throughout the doldrums of a long major league season, July, etc.
But I mean, Barry Bonds was a great hitter. It gave him extra power. Sammy Sosa was a terrific hitter. He gave me Mark McGwire hit like 48 clean. So, yeah. You can't be just some AAA, jag and take a bunch of steroids and hit 60 home runs. You got to be good to begin with.
Yeah. Well, it also needs to be noted that pitchers and their velocities and their spin rates have also gone up. So it's harder and harder to hit now because the pitchers are so fucking good.
Yeah.
Do you see Mizorowski today for the Brewers?
No.
50-plus pitches over 100 miles an hour in a single game. This has never been done before since they started accurate pitch speed tracking in 2008. He's essentially the best dominant closer in terms of velocity, but he's a starter. And he's doing it sustained over 4, 5, sometimes 6 innings. Somebody tweeted, it was Rob Friedman, the pitching ninja. He said, Mizorowski is the lab experiment that escaped. That's a great line.
Okay, but what's the over-under on Tommy John for him?
Hey.
2 years?
I have a lot of Brewer fans who listen to this pod.
Understand. But look, Nolan Ryan threw as fast as any of these guys. He'd throw 200 pitches in a game. And finally, when he was like 46, his elbow blew out. But all these other guys, every one of them has Tommy John.
Yeah. But Nolan Ryan had that country tough. He had that rancher tough. Word was he didn't work out. All he did was he would work on his arm by punching his fist into a bag full of rice in the off.
Well, he kept himself in good shape, too. He worked out a lot. But it's inevitable. It seems that these guys have the Tommy John surgery.
Yeah,
I think a lot of it has to do with the spin rate too. That they're putting more torque on the elbow.
Yeah, you're probably right, but don't fucking say that around here. Already there's enough people already that chirp me going, "Ugh, an Andy episode." I skip those right away. I missed a week with you. I don't think I've talked to you since the schedule came out.
Yeah. You had your golf trip last week or something, right?
I did that and whatever. How do you like the schedule? I'm going to play for you this comment from Jason Kelsey on his podcast about
the schedule and how the NFL is running a dangerous trend of going away from Sundays. Take a listen.
I don't think we're there yet. Sunday is the day of football, right? With every day that we keep adding in there, we're getting away from that just a little bit. And I worry that I think the game got big. One of the reasons it got so popular and big was because all of the game, it was an event. Sunday is the NFL. And everybody set their week apart into their games that were happening on Sunday. And you're watching kind of all of them now take place across the Sunday ticket, right? I worry that we're getting away from that just a little bit by building too many of this.
Andy, what do you think?
I think he's 100% right. I'm kind of surprised to hear somebody under the age of 40 say that. And I've always felt that Washington became such a big football town because it's a white collar town and people don't work 40 hours a week. They work 60 hours a week. And to have their one window of sports watching three hours on Sunday afternoon always worked. And when you start putting all these games on Thursday and Sunday night and Monday night, yeah, I agree with that. You know, but
at what point then does it become too much? Well, because we're already really spread out now. Could the NFL's next year schedule be even more spread? Like I call it pulling the taffy. They've pulled the taffy where it's really stretched out now.
Understand, but people have not stopped watching it. And unlike boxing, where they started putting in all these pay tiers like pay-per-view, that eventually killed it, it's not happening. Like, they've added now the Wednesday night game on Thanksgiving. You think that's not going to draw 40 million people?
It's going to draw a lot of people on TV.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that. I just wonder, though, at some point you can break the concept. You can break the product. At some point.
You can, but even if you water it down a little bit, even if your ratings drop from 40 million to 35 million, you're still tripling, you know, some of the biggest events in the other sports.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, lastly, this was from hockey. I know you didn't see the game, but Las Vegas is now up. Is it two games? 3-0 on the Avalanche. Tomas Hertl had the go-ahead incredible goal for Vegas. And according to the great Sean McDonough, the play-by-play guy for Vegas said that Hertl's life slogan is, you ready? Fun must be always. Fun must be always. That is the best life slogan I think I've ever heard. I am stealing that officially.
It sounds like a t-shirt to me.
What is what is Andy Pollin's life slogan, or what would be your life slogan as you approach 70 years of age?
Well, I mean, you've hung it on me over the years, good enough, Andy. And you know, I think that's probably it. I don't get overly worked up about things that don't matter that much.
Well, and that's actually a great, beautiful way to go through life to a certain extent. However, I think in some fields and some exercises, you should demand the best. You should be obsessed with the best. You should say to yourself, no, this could be better. Let's go ahead and do something to make it better.
Well, that's why you're always making returns at Best Buy, because you're always seeking out the perfect electronic. And I like it. If you turn it on, it works.
Andy, they keep making better ones. That's
I understand.
The problem.
I understand. I just upgraded to a 17 iPhone.
I know.
That's because that was what's available. I'll probably have this a lot longer than most people do.
You look fantastic right now in the video window I'm looking at you. You're like, can you tell the difference? I'm like, yes, I can tell the difference. You were rocking an iPhone what model that you gave up?
11.
Ugh. 11, yeah. Mainly yeah. Right there. So, are you happy with the new phone?
Yeah, I mean, I was happy with the other, except the battery life wasn't very good.
Right.
And then you want to give me a microphone that fits this and other things.
I can now give you a proper microphone, and I think you'll know how to use it. So.
And I learned this, that while they transfer all the stuff over from the other phone, I had to have my son-in-law do my Bluetooth on my car because it didn't go to the new phone. No. Okay.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad you're rocking the 17. Very nice. All right, Andy, we will make the best of what's left.
Hi, Zay.
And that is a wrap for today. Thank you so much, everybody. Please do rate and review if you got a second to do so. Helps with the algorithmic overlords. If you'd like to subscribe to the Zabecast, why, what a great deal. You get ad-free Monday through Thursday, plus the bonus episode every Friday with Scott and Solly, usually, but most of the time. I mean, you're $5 a month. If you sign up for a year at a time, I'll give you the 12th month for free. Otherwise, go month to month, cancel anytime. I've never once hassled anybody over canceling because, well, we all have budgets. Just go to zabe.com/premium and sign up today. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, everybody, and we will see you next time. The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL, both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now, for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it. Up to $500 back as free play, one-time rollover. Plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.